Good morning. We'll go ahead and get started here. I know that the change of time may have affected some of our attendance this morning a little bit. Thank y'all for being here. Appreciate it. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here. Thank you for our church body. Pray that you'll speak to us this morning, Lord, for those that are here, that you've ordained this time for us together, Lord, to look at conflict in marriage and ways that we can deal with that in a biblical way, Lord. We thank you for our spouse. They're a blessing to us, and we just pray that you would help us to be able to have peace in our home, joy in our home, and that you would let our marriage be a light that shines for your gospel, Lord, to the world. And that just brings glory to your name, Lord. Pray that you will speak to our heart here this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Well, our topic this morning is resolving conflict in marriage. And the goals that I have this morning are to identify some of the sources of conflict. Because I think if you can identify what the sources are, then you can get down to the root of being able to deal with those issues. We also want to identify biblical principles for resolving those conflicts in our marriage. I don't know that this is going to be exactly what you want out of a resolving marriage and conflict in marriage talk, because I don't have seven steps or these exact methods for resolving conflict in your marriage. But what I do want us to do this morning is take a look at our heart and be able to identify those things within us that lead to conflict. And through prayer and through just the Holy Spirit working in our lives to sanctify us, that we can work on those things in our own lives. I know that sometimes when you sit in a talk like this, it's easy to say, oh yeah, my wife needs to hear this, or my husband needs to hear that. This would be really good if he would apply this or apply that. And my goal is not that you would look at your husband or your wife and say, this is what they should do, but that you would look at it and say, this is me. And that's what I did in studying this. It really changed my thinking on a lot of things from it's all my wife's fault to this is me and this is what I've got to deal with. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from. I'm definitely not an expert on conflict in marriage. You can ask my wife about that. But anyway, that's kind of the approach that I want to take this morning. So why do we have conflict in our marriage? And I think we can all guess that it started out with sin. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So once sin entered in the picture, that's when the first conflict began. The first recorded conflict in Scripture came with Cain and Abel shortly after Adam and Eve ate the apple. You can see some of the, core sins there that were involved in Cain and Abel's conflict. You can see that there's jealousy. Said the Lord looked on Abel with favor, and Cain became angry, and his face became downcast. Cain thought that he deserved the favor that Abel received, and so therefore the first conflict came in. In James 4:1, it says, what causes the quarrels and the fights that are among you? And again, we see some of the same sins that come up. We see desire, covetousness, selfishness, passion, pride, and temptation. As we go through some of the sins that are involved in conflicts in our marriage, I would just ask that on your notes, if you have a pen, just circle some of those that apply to you in your conflicts and your fights. I think that it's good for us to be able to identify those sins and those areas where we struggle the most. Some of us may struggle a little bit more with one sin as opposed to others. I know last week when we did our small group on marriage, the same topic kept coming up over and over and over, and that was the topic of selfishness. And I think every guy in the group and every woman in the group admitted that it's selfishness that causes a lot of the quarrels in their marriage. Not all conflicts are caused by sin, but we know that the reaction to the conflict and the way we respond in those situations can either elevate the conflict or it can help bring peace in the conflict. Some of the other sources of our conflict would be differences. For example, we might have different opinion on something from our wife. We might have different way of doing things. We have different likes, dislikes, different expectations. And because of that, a lot of times it will lead to a conflict. And then again, it's how do we respond in the face of those conflicts? Sometimes sin can enter in when it comes to how we react. Another source of conflict in our marriage can be poor communication. And that's not always sinful. Sometimes we just don't know how to communicate with our spouse. Sometimes I'll say one thing and my wife will hear something totally different. Sometimes we don't take time to communicate. You get caught up in the busyness of life and it's hard to find a time to communicate. When you have kids and you're trying to get them going in the right direction, or you have little ones that you're trying to feed and get to bed and change their diapers, all of those things keep you from having time to just address issues, address things that are going on, and because of that, it'll lead to conflict. And again, our way of communication can be sinful. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." How we communicate with our wife is important. We should not do it out of anger. We should not react too quickly. But our speech should be gracious. Why else do we have conflict in our marriage? Well, God has ordained conflict in our marriage for our growth and for our sanctification. Ephesians 5:25-27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." A lot of times conflict in our marriage can expose sin that we didn't even know existed in our life. It can teach us to love and forgive as Christ loves and forgives us so that we can become more like him. It teaches us to be self-sacrificing and to love unconditionally. A quote that I read this week says, "Marriage is a tool for our holiness rather than for our happiness. Although we can be happy in our marriage, I think God wants us to find happiness and find joy in our marriage. But is that the key goal that the Lord has for us in our marriage?" Conflicts in our marriage can also teach us to depend fully on Christ. Sometimes we want to depend on our wife for our joy and for our happiness. But that's not what satisfies us. Only Christ can do that. And so we have to take a step back from depending on our spouse and just recognize that we have to depend fully upon Him. In identifying some of the sources of conflict, now we want to take a look at some biblical principles for how we can deal with some of those conflicts. And again, I'm going to warn us that when you're listening to some of these things, try not to look at, well, my wife really needs to be here to listen to this, or my husband needs to hear that. We really need to point the finger at us and say, this is for me. I really need to hear this. And all these might not apply to you, but as I went through this list, I think about all of them applied to me at some point or another. And maybe sometimes I do better in one area than another, but sometimes I fail miserably. This list is not necessarily a complete list. There may be some things I left out for sake of time, but I think we can get the point that there's enough things here to work on that if we just focus on a half of these or a third of these, I think it'll really help us with conflicts in our marriage. First one is humility. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise." Pride is one of those things that blinds us to itself. Because we're prideful, we don't even see that we have pride in our life. Because I'm prideful, I don't even know what my sins are. Because I'm not looking at myself, I'm looking at others. And so we really have to stop and take a look at our own life. It takes humility to be able to do that. Humility allows us to see the size of our own sin, that Christ has forgiven, so that when others sin against us, it seems very small in comparison. And so if I can look at what I've done to offend Christ, and that He's forgiven me for every bit of that, then I should be able to forgive my wife when she does something very small. Some questions that I want you to ask yourself. All right, this will help you determine how pride affects conflicts with your spouse. And ask yourself these questions. Are you willing to admit when you're wrong? Do you resort to defensiveness, blame shifting, justification, or anger when you're reproved by your spouse? Do you become impatient or upset when your spouse contradicts you? Are you oversensitive to correction? Are you willing to forgive your spouse even when they do not submit or repent? Is it difficult for you to be pleased by your spouse? Do you exaggerate your virtues and minimize your flaws and maximize those of your wife or your husband? Do you have a critical attitude towards your spouse? Are you prone to command rather than obey, to teach rather than to be taught, and to speak rather than to listen? Do you desire to be esteemed by your spouse above and beyond the condition or proportion that God has appointed for you? As I went through that list, I had to really stop and think about a few of those. I think sometimes it's easy for me to teach my wife rather than to be taught by her, or to speak rather than to listen. And there are others on the list as well that I looked at and I said, you know what, I do have pride. I do sometimes shift the blame because of my lack of humility. Gentleness versus harshness. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Gentleness is the ability to command your thoughts, your tongue, countenance, and body language during a time of provocation. Gentleness is also remaining quiet when you're angry in order to think about an appropriate response. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets confrontation. Do any of these responses describe you when you're in conflict with your spouse? Yelling and screaming. Talking back. Using biting sarcasm. Name-calling, profanity, saying hurtful things that you regret later. Sometimes we can be passive-aggressive and sulking or pouting or giving the silent treatment or refusing to talk. If those are any things that describe you when you're in conflict with your spouse, those are forms of harshness rather than gentleness. And we're called to be gentle. Forbearance versus intolerance. Colossians 3:12 and 13 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Are you forbearing? When my spouse doesn't do things exactly the way that I would do them or the way that I think is best, do I criticize them verbally or mentally? When my spouse desires to do something differently than I do I try to change their mind without considering his or her desires? Do I have difficulty tolerating annoying mannerisms or irritating idiosyncrasies? When my spouse doesn't follow my counsel to the letter, do I judge their motive? When my spouse struggles and needs my assistance with something that I think is unimportant, do I help them in an understanding way? When my spouse makes a mistake, so I immediately reprove them, or do I seek understanding? Again, I look at this list and I think every one of these I would say yes to at some time or another. I think early on in our marriage, some of these, you know, my wife and I both probably really struggled with. Thank the Lord, through sanctification and growth, you know, the Lord has helped us to identify some of these sins in our marriage, some of the ways that we fight. I know that early on, you know, there was a point that we had to go to counseling. And the one thing that came out is that when we had conflict, neither one of us would fight fair. We would always go for those things that were hurtful. We would always go for those things that would go right to the throat. And it was always, you know, pointing the finger at the other rather than looking at our own self. And once we were able to do that, it really allowed us to have some breakthroughs in our marriage. Love versus selfishness. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Selfishness is one of the is probably the sin out of which almost every other sin flows. Selfishness is the one sin that's probably the most common to all of us. I think we saw that again, Donzel, in our group last week when everybody said that was the one thing that they struggled with, was selfishness. And it's the root of a lot of the cause of conflict in our marriage. And the fact that we can identify that, then we can repent from those sins. Forgiveness versus bitterness. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I must be willing to forgive because I know that Christ has forgiven me much. And sometimes I'm unwilling to forgive just the most minor things that happen in our house. Responding versus reacting. James 1:19 and 20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Response implies that there's a space of time between an event and our interpretation of the event. Where reactions are typically emotional in nature and often happen so quickly, we don't have time to think about our behavior before we act. Responding to a situation differs from your action because it allows room to assess the situation. When something happens in your home that you don't like or that you wish would go differently, do you respond immediately or do you stop and take time and think about your response? Or do you blow up in anger? I know that I do often blow up in anger. Maybe sometimes even towards my kids, not just always towards my spouse. Patience and endurance. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Are we patient in our reactions to distress? When things don't go as we want them to, are we patient? Ephesians 4:2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." This implies being patient with another person. Sometimes patience requires us to be patient in a situation or involving circumstances, and sometimes it just involves us being patient with another person. Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Patience can also be in the face of trial. Right? When you and your spouse are having difficulty, it may not be marital difficulty, it may be financial difficulty, it may be difficulty at work, it may be difficulty with the kids. Whatever trial you may be going through, are you patient? Are we waiting upon the Lord? Are we depending on Him? Let me go back. Here's some questions to ask yourself about patience. Are you a patient person? Do you interrupt your spouse while they are speaking, or do you wait until they fully express their thoughts before you express yours? Do you jump to hasty, unfounded conclusions instead of waiting to collect all the necessary information to make a conclusion? Do you finish your spouse's sentences because you are unable to wait until they express their thoughts? Do you prematurely terminate discussions in order to do something more pleasurable? Do you say or do just about anything to end an argument with your spouse? Again, I look at the list and I think, I'm guilty of probably all of those things. Here's another list of unbiblical responses that we have to conflict. I don't know that all of these are directly named in Scripture, but I think we probably all can see some of these in our life as well. Again, I would encourage you to circle some of these in your notes so that as you're in prayer, you can repent from some of these things so that you can identify some of these things in your life that lead to conflict. Dismissing. Do you dismiss the thoughts and the feelings and the opinions of your spouse? Or do you fully take time to listen and hear what they have to say? Is that important? Right. Do we try to dismiss the conflict? Do we do anything we can to avoid it? Or are we willing to patiently sit and work through and talk through the issues that we have so that we can come to a resolution, so we can come to peace, so that we can, even more than that, not just have a peace in our home, but so that we can actually have joy in our home. Lack of compassion. Are you compassionate towards your spouse? When they're struggling, when they have difficulties, when they're having hard times. I know my wife went through a really hard time maybe 8 years ago. I don't even remember how long ago it's been. It's been a while. But there was a time where she got really sick. And I think through that, the Lord taught me to be more compassionate toward her, because I know before that, I wasn't compassionate toward her at all. And she may still say that I'm not very compassionate sometimes, but I know that compared to before that trial, that really helped change my mind and my thoughts towards my wife and just being more compassionate toward her. Blame shifting. Again, I know the warning that I gave was for you to look at yourself rather than your spouse. Which of these sins do you struggle with? Not which of these sins do they struggle with? That's blame shifting. Do I look at every conflict and say, well, if she would just fix that, or if she would just do this, then we won't have a conflict. All right? And it's not always the other person's fault. A lot of times it could be my sin and my response. Interrupting. Do I fully listen to my spouse, or do I interrupt them when they're talking? Am I thinking about what I'm going to say next to make my point, or am I fully trying to listen and understand what it is they're trying to say? Manipulation. Even when we're wrong, do we try to manipulate our spouse so that they feel like they are the one that was wrong? Do we try to twist the situation, twist their words, twist our reaction or twist our response so that they get the point that we feel like they're the one to blame rather than us? It's very similar to blame shifting. Rash judgments. Do I quickly judge my spouse's motives, or do I give them the benefit of the doubt? Do I think the best about my spouse? Even if the situation doesn't look good on the outside initially, I make a quick judgment, and so therefore I maybe get angry at my wife or my spouse, and I don't respond well. Anger. Do I respond in anger? Sweeping generalizations. Do I say, you always do this, or you always do that? You never do this. You never do that. I think I've been very guilty of doing this at times in our marriage. Justification. Do I justify my behavior? Do I justify my sin? Well, the reason I got angry was because you did this, or because you did that. Defensiveness. Do I get defensive when my wife reproves me? No one knows you better than your spouse. And they can see when there's sin in your life. And when they speak to you about it, how do you respond? Are you defensive, or do you listen with humility? Biting sarcasm. I know sometimes just the general response we have to life can be sarcasm, and sometimes it can be fun or funny. And sometimes that might even be what your spouse was drawn to you for, because they liked your wit and your humor and this and that. But when you're in the middle of a conflict, that's probably not a good trait to have sarcasm and say things, you know, that normally might be funny, but in the middle of the conflict, it's not funny. Deceitfulness. Do we lie? Do we hide? Do we cover up our sin? Are we unreasonable? Or do I listen to my spouse with an open mind, trying to hear, trying to understand their opinion, trying to understand their point of view? Or is my mind already made up? I know what they did wrong, and I'm not backing down. Am I unreasonable? Scolding. Do I talk to my wife or my husband as though they are one of my kids? Do I talk down to them? Hastiness. Do I respond too quickly in situations? Do I really take time to think through my response? Or do I react quickly? Loquaciousness. I had to look this one up. So I put the definition on here. I really like this one because I'm probably guilty of this one a lot. Do you rudely multiply your words in a conflict while ignoring or interrupting your partner? In other words, do I talk too much in the middle of a conflict? Sometimes it might be better for me to just keep my mouth shut. But I want to make my point. So I just keep talking and keep talking. I don't even know if I can say this one. Exhumation. Exhumation, maybe, I don't know. What I thought of when I heard that word was digging up a grave. I think that's what that means, but it's digging up arguments from the past that have been buried by my forgiveness or supposed forgiveness. I was supposed to forgive you for that, but yet here it is 5 years later coming up again. That was not true forgiveness if I'm digging up things from the past and bringing those into a current argument. I don't know about you guys, but when I looked at this list, I realized, man, I'm failing miserably. I'm not doing a good job as a spouse, especially when it comes to conflict. I mentioned a minute ago that it was year 9 in my marriage where we had to seek counseling because we realized that we didn't fight fair. And we did make a lot of improvements. But looking through this list was very convicting. Because I thought, you know what? These things, I still do them. So what do we do? What do I do when I recognize that I'm sinful and that it's my sin that leads to the conflict with my spouse. No doubt that our spouse also can be sinful at times, right? But what are we looking at? Are we looking at their sin? Are we upset by what they did or didn't do? Because I think if you step back and take a minute and look into your own heart and look into your own life, you can see that there's plenty that we do to cause the conflict ourselves. I don't have a list of, if you'll do these things, it will keep you from getting into a conflict in your marriage. I know there are some of those out there. It was a lot of psychology stuff. There were a lot of steps that you can look up. Do this if you're having a conflict in your marriage. Do that. But a lot of it really comes down to our heart. It really comes down to our selfishness, to our sin, to how I respond in situations. Yes, it does also apply to my wife. She does have sin. She does make mistakes. Sorry, honey. But what am I looking at in the situation? Am I looking at her, or am I looking at me? And if I look at me, then we can probably at least 50% of our issues can be resolved right there. So what do I do when I figure out that I'm failing? First of all, confess your sins to your wife or your husband. Confess to your spouse. If you see sins that are on this list of things that we went through today, talk about them with your spouse. Let them know that you do those things. Let them know that you're aware. Awareness is the beginning of being able to make corrections. Just being aware of it, knowing that you do it. Ask forgiveness. Pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you of those things that we went through that you don't even know that exist in your life. Ask the Lord to reveal those things to you. Ask the Lord to help you to deal with those things, to root out those sins, to cut them out. Scripture talks about circumcision of the heart. You're cutting out all the unclean thoughts, all the unclean attitudes that we have in our heart. Confess your sins to the Lord. Seek His forgiveness. Because ultimately, anytime we sin against another, we're sinning against God. Thank the Lord for the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself that Christ has forgiven you. You don't have to live in the guilt and the shame and the burden of the sin. Christ has died to give you the power and freedom from those sins. Live in light of that. Here's another word I came across in the studies was diligence. Seek peace and reconciliation with your spouse diligently. You have to carve out time. You have to purpose to work through those issues with your spouse. On the back of your page, there's a little information on how to do a do-it-yourself marriage retreat. I think some of the advice in there is good. Take your spouse and get away somewhere. And I think it gives you some questions you can talk to each other about. Some things you can work through with your spouse. But if you're really struggling in your marriage, what a great way to reset. What a great way to let your spouse know you love them. Let them know that you are willing to work on this with them. That you're not only willing to work on their issues, but you're willing to work on your own issues. purpose to grow in the areas where you struggle. Again, the one thing I wanted to do today was identify those areas of struggle. Because if we can identify those things, then we can purpose to grow in those areas. Allow the Lord to change your heart and change your mind. Don't be stubborn. Don't hold on to your sin. Don't hold on to your selfishness. It's through humility that we can recognize these areas and that we can put to death. Forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And continue to preach the gospel to yourself. I see a note up here from my pastor that I put the wrong verse reference here. My scripture is Hebrews 12:1-3, not Romans 12. I apologize for that. This was probably late at night and I was a little bit tired. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that was marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The one thing I know is that the Lord gave me my wife for a purpose, with a plan. And I'm so thankful for that. Most of the time, it's awesome. There are times when we have conflict in our marriage. Like I said, just because I'm up here does not make me the expert on conflict in marriage. I've messed up in those areas many, many times. Maybe this week even some of them. But if I recognize the purpose that God put my wife in my life, is for my sanctification. Because God made her the way that she is, there are times we argue. We have differences. We have different opinions. We have different thoughts. It's not always sin that's involved. It's just differences. But how I respond to those differences can either help us to keep peace or can lead right into conflicts. And so, I think our if we can recognize those things, the purpose of why the Lord put our particular spouse in our life, right, and He knew what He was doing when He put them in our life. And if we can be thankful for them, it will help us so much in our conflicts. Again, like I said, there were so many psychology methods and procedures and, you know, do these six steps and it'll resolve all the conflicts in your marriage. And some of those may be great. Some of those may work for you. And I would say if your conflict in your marriage is really deeply rooted and you're on the verge of, you know, divorce, or if you're on the verge of, I don't know if we can make it in our marriage anymore, I would highly recommend that you seek help. Right, be humble enough, make your marriage important enough that you would seek wise counsel from your pastors, from someone in the church. You're not on your own. You're not alone in the struggle. Again, there are other brothers and sisters in the church that have had struggles in their marriage, and they can help you with those issues. But you got to be open and willing and able to confess those to someone and say, we need help. I pray for the marriages in this church. I know that Satan, that's the first place that he attacks our church, is in our marriages. I know he does mine. He attacks us in my home, in my family. And that's where we have to do battle. We have to do battle in prayer. We have to do battle in just diligence in seeking out biblical means of being able to deal with issues and situations that arise in our home. I don't know these principles. We're talking about marriage here, but they can also apply to the struggles and conflicts you have with your children, with people at work, with people in the church. In all those situations, rather than looking at the other person, it's looking at yourself. To me, that's what true humility is. If I am growing in these areas, if I'm able to be more humble, if I'm able to be more gentle, if I'm able to be more loving and patient and kind and compassionate towards my wife or to my coworkers or to my children or to the people within the church body, be a lot less conflicts. Conflicts still will arise, even though you're doing all those things. Sometimes that conflict may be for the other person. But our approach should always be to look at ourselves. Where is it in this that I need to grow? Where is it in this where the Lord is sanctifying me? It's kind of funny because the more I think I've got it figured out, the deeper the conflict becomes. The more intense it can become sometimes. And not always just in my home. But maybe sometimes it's outside my home. And then the stress of that situation, I can bring that into my home. And now there's conflict in my home where there shouldn't have been. I know that I've done that here recently with my family. Conflicts at work stress me out. I come home and now I take that out on my family. They don't deserve that. So my prayer for us in this is that we look at our heart. Look at how is the Lord trying to change me? How is the Lord trying to grow me? How is the Lord using this trial, this conflict to sanctify me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. I pray that we will have the humility to hear your word. Pray that you would open our eyes to see our sin, Lord, in light of your holiness, that you would help us to grow. Help us to purpose in these things, Lord, to work on them in our marriage. Help us to be diligent in it, not to just say, oh yeah, that would be great, that's a good idea, but that we would really work on these things in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. Comes through time in your word, comes through prayer, comes from seeking you, comes from a grateful heart for the spouse that you've given us. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Christ's name, amen.